After a little break, you know, you could forget about me in that short time. So we do have a quorum, and I call a meeting of the Higher Education and Career Readiness Policy and Finance Committee to order. First order of business being the minutes from March the 28th. Welcome over. Any motions to approve?
Motion to approve, Mr. Chair.
Representative Heitzman moves. Minutes from March the 28th. Any corrections, discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, minutes are approved. All right, members, we have, unless you have something else to add, like what we did during that last week, we had just one item on our agenda today, and we'd like to call Commissioner Pogemiller to the table, and he will be discussing the Governor's Higher Education Supplemental Budget Request. And we look forward to hearing that.
Mr. Chairman.
Welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you, and appreciate you taking the time to hear the Governor's request. And I understand you've got the jackets in your office. We'd be thrilled if you introduce it.
I do have the jackets.
Well, yes. We'd be thrilled. He'd be honored if you'd introduce it.
Okay. And don't rush your presentation because we have time.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's relatively brief, though. The Governor's got a $29.6 million request. You've already heard from the University of Minnesota and Minn State. The portion for Minn State is $18.5 million, which is $10 million one time for campus support and access, and then $8.5 million permanent for the their next-gen data system that you're all familiar with. So that's $18.5 for Minn State, $10 million of it one time. University of Minnesota is a one-time request to hold down tuition, $10 million. And you've heard from both of them, so I was not going to add anything unless you needed more. The remaining $1.1 million is to our office, and there are a couple fund transfers, though. So the first item is a fund transfer to something called Minnesota Reconnect or Adult Promise from current funds, which is the, I call it the STUMP program, but it was the Occupational Scholarship Program. It was that pilot for $5 million to try to get, by and large, rural students to have tuition-free college in greater Minnesota. There is money left over from that pilot, and we would like to transfer that to something called Minnesota Reconnect, which is at four Minn State campuses through a Lumen request. They put in, I think, $750,000. We'd like to put in another million. And it's at Riverland, South Central, Inver Hills, and Lake Superior. And the idea is to bring back over 25-year-old students who have up to at least 15 credits and try to bring them back, offer them scholarships and support services so they can finish their degree. It's a pretty good idea, and Minn State is hoping to serve about 500 adults doing that. And so with this money that is sitting in the Occupational Scholarship Program and will revert to the general fund, if you would allow us to transfer that to this program, I think it would help Minn State service these 500 students. Second item is a spinal cord injury and traumatic brain injury special reserve account. You have appropriated significant dollars to this in the last few years. There's 21 projects, about $2.3 million in funding, and it's currently a general appropriation. We think it would be wiser and technically sounder to put it into a revolving fund, because when the research grants go out, many of these projects cannot be consummated. The research can't be done within a year period. They have to maybe get some sign-offs from the federal government, et cetera. So if we had the money in a general revenue account, it would make it possible to fully utilize the funds. We think that's a pretty technical request and hope you'd consider it. The spinal cord injury and traumatic brain injury funds are a legislative initiative. They had not come out of the governor's office, so we would hope you'd look favorably upon that. We think it'd be better for the money. We also have asking for some flexibility in transferring funds between three programs, ICAP and parent and student involvement, and that's purely to allow us to use the funds and not revert those to the general fund at the end of a biennium. We could put them into other small programs that you have funded also, and we hope you give some consideration to that. Then finally, the $1.1 million appropriation that the governor is asking for is to do something called the Federal Pell Fill-In for Minnesota Dreamers. We currently have a Minnesota Dream Act where state grant money can go to Dream students, and those are students who are non-immigrant aliens who have who attended Minnesota high schools for 3 years, got a Minnesota high school diploma or GED from a Minnesota high school, and that's the basic criteria. And we allow them now to get a Minnesota state grant, and we service, in 16-17, we service 485 students at about $3,600 per student. What they are not eligible for is federal Pell dollars. And this request is to say, and that's because of federal law. This request simply says, why don't we make them eligible? Why don't we pay that portion for some of those students? And that would help about 485 students at, and it would be about a $2,000 increase for about, about 568 students. It would be about a $2,000 increase for those students. Again, these are students who are not citizens, but who grew up in Minnesota, went to Minnesota high schools, graduated from Minnesota high schools, and are just trying to get a college degree. Mr. Chairman, that, and we estimate that that would cost about $1.1 million a year. Mr. Chairman, that's the extent of the governor's request. We sure hope if you do have the ability to do some modest expenditures this year, you would consider those items.
All right, thank you. We don't know yet, but we hope to find out soon. Questions for members? Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Couple questions, if I can. I'm curious on the Minnesota State for institutions, you said, right, transfer for the Adult Promise, and you talked about 500 adults, 25 and over. With the marketplace being so strong and employment high, have you identified those students, or how do you plan on having students leave employment in order to take the time and have the money to afford school?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chairman, they haven't identified them yet. They're in that process. They believe there are that many students out there, clearly. And they know who those students are because they know who's derived credits from their institutions. And so they would be reaching out, and perhaps some of the money would be used for scholarships to incent that person, even if they are in the workplace, to come back. And for other students, there would be some support services around them, perhaps childcare, as an example. And so it's a fairly targeted program for a fairly targeted audience who has started, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, had started their education and just didn't finish. And the idea is that long-term, it would be better for them to have a certificate of value or a degree than not. And so if they could fit it into their schedule, it would be a good idea, particularly since we have enrollments down now because the economy is so good.
Mr. Chair, follow-up. Any thought on focusing that in high-demand fields where we need the workers or we need additional skill sets?
Mr. Bogdanoff.
Mr. Chairman, I think they would naturally do that, but the fund that we're actually moving the dollars from, the Occupational Scholarship Program, that's what it was directed to. And so I think it's hard for the institutions to... It appears to be hard to match that up, depending on where they are in the state. But I think they would be incented to do that and would want to do that if they could, but they may not be able to drive enough students that way.
Representative Haley?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is on the Pell Grant, and more of a, I'm just looking for your experience and just advice. In looking at how the Pell Grant system works and talking to employers, something they brought to my attention is oftentimes we don't have visibility into students in lower incomes that are, you know, working just to afford basic life, and yet they could do more if they could get a certificate or get training. But it's that trade-off in, again, how do you leave a job to go to school? And my understanding is to qualify for Pell, and maybe this is the same in your proposal here for the state grants, you have to be enrolled in so many credits. And so the idea was brought to me, do we lower the threshold for what's required in credits so that people can work and go to school? And then again, once we have visibility into those students in our institutions, then we're more able to support them and figure out, you know, the pathway to have them complete and then be better prepared for a stronger career afterwards. Just interested in your thoughts on that.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask Ms. Fergus to come up because I don't want to misstate how that exactly works. And she's eager because she knows the exact question you just asked.
Yeah. Welcome. Please identify yourself and then try to answer the question.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. For the record, my name is Meredith Fergus. I'm the manager of financial aid research for the Office of Higher Education. Pell Grant actually, students can qualify for Pell Grant if they take one or more credits. So it actually is a really low threshold on the credit side. The interaction actually occurs because the lower the number of credits you enroll in, the lower the income level is that allows you to qualify for a Pell Grant. So if you are only enrolled part-time, and you, for example, say you are 25 or older, you generally will not qualify for a Pell Grant if you earn more than $12,000 a year. So it is a very low interaction point. We have tried, given that the Pell Grant and the state grant work in combination, we have tried to kind of increase eligibility for the state grant to make up for some of that, and part of that the committee did last year by lowering the assigned family responsibility thresholds. That allows more of those part-time, lower-income, lower-wage working students to become eligible. But, yes, it is a low threshold of interaction.
Thank you.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, on page 4, you and I share a very heightened and special interest in the SCI and TBI program. I'm wondering if you could just reassure me that and I read the letter that came from Medical Alley, so that's of good note to me, but I just want to make sure that the money that goes into this revolving, as you describe it, account is restricted to the purposes that SCI-TBI is intended for.
Commissioner?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that's the intent, yes.
That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. And I heard reports that the money is really being well spent.
Mr. Chairman, yes, they've got a lot of requests. I think the current, my staff wanted me to mention this, there's over $2.3 million funding out in 21 projects so far, and there's 42 more intents to submit. Mm-hmm. So it is, it appears, is providing some good seed money for even requesting further national grants and stuff.
Right. I think that was the intent, and we're happy to see that. Any other members have questions? I don't suppose anybody from the audience wants to come down either, do they? just hold up a second. Everyone has asked questions, Gene, except you, so I thought, I'm just kidding.
Mr. Chair, I have the pages every Tuesday at 2 o'clock in my office, and this is the largest group of pages now for the rest of session. They ask a lot of questions, and I must stay until they have exhausted all their questions.
You must.
Yes.
You must.
So I've done that job, now I'm down here.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're here. Would you like to repeat your testimony? We're really ahead of schedule, Representative Blonsky, so... members, thoughts? Representative Heitzman, any of your kids have something they'd like to add? No?
Sorry, Mr. Chair. They were thinking about K through 12, and they messed up and came to this committee.
Oh, did they really?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, I kind of thank you for coming,
you, Mr. Chairman,
Commissioner, and for your short and sweet presentation. And I, you know, we're looking forward to hearing something soon about targets and see where we're going and how we can address the issues that you mentioned and the need.
Mr. Chairman, it goes without saying, even if you don't have a financial target, you could do some of the other modest things in here. Fund transfers, et cetera.
We will certainly
try to do that. And create that trust fund. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for your testimony. Members, one last thing. Anything you have to say? I mean, we get this chance every day.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. We're going to start asking questions among ourselves. Representative Brunardi.
Well, Chair Norton, since you asked that, I did overbreak it to read the article about your granddaughter.
Oh, you did?
Yes, okay. And it was a very interesting article, and that was nice that she logged her experience and what they accomplished. And did they have their child yet? That's a question I want to know. They had their baby?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. Because she was just here today, and my granddaughter who wrote that article was here with her two children, and they're on the way to Iowa. If I could have delayed them a little while, I could have been here for this committee. So there's one that's 2.5 and one that's 3 months. And they're still working on about 20,000 of that debt that's still not paid yet. Anyway,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Heitzman, yes.
I'm thinking, is it that time of the year? Are you taking donations? Are you walking again?
That almost sounds like a commercial announcement. Yes, I'm walking in the Glendale Walk for Parks.
So we didn't miss it?
No, it's the 21st.
All right, very good. We'll start by your office.
The 21st, I also have a groundbreaking for a new child care center in Battle Lake. So if you wonder what we do back in our districts, I walk and I dig.
Great ground.
Yeah. And it's all good. It's all good. Any other announcements? No? Well, I feel honored to be able to go early. Yes. I warn you that this will not always be the case. We're not done yet. And one other point. The commissioner and myself will be on Almanac tomorrow night. So, anyone else going to be on there? Okay, that was just the two of us. So, with that, members, we are